didn't do the meditation in the forest. We have forest meditations. It's beautiful. So I will invite Isabel so that we can start our Dhamma sharing. So just sit and relax a little bit. Relax the body in your mind. You don't have to do anything right now. Just be yourself. And let the vibrations of the bell pervade you. The bell is the calling of the Buddha, is the energy of the Buddha, mindfulness bell that pervades your body and your mind. As we are you to relax and rest. So relationship is something that we deal with every day, right? With every day. But sometimes we have a healthy relationship, sometimes we have a not healthy relationship. So first I would like to start out with a relationship with our body and our mind. we live in a society that normally our body and our mind is very separate, right? We lost connections with body and mind. Body is different things and mind is different things. So that's why we become very ill, because we are not able to renew in the body and the mind. We lost the relationship, that relationship. So now we spend a lot of time working on our body, right? But we forget our mind. So that means body and mind are two separate identities. So we lost the connections, the relationship between body and mind. So the Buddha is advised to come back, to make connections. In order to make some other connection, we have to make connections with our body and our mind. So when you do, like this morning, we just do is walking meditations, right? So that means you're able to come back to really in touch with your body and with your mind. In the awareness, in the space of awareness. So when you walk, you make one step, you know that your body is there and your mind is there. So that means you are making, you make the relationship between your body and your mind become healthy. And once the relationship with your body and your mind stronger, then you become healthy. You're very healthy. But if your body is not have a connection with you, and you become slowly ill in different way. But we don't know the cause of that. So when we meditate, is we come back to make the connections, to generate that connection between body and mind, the relation between body. Because you know when you sit there and your body is really pain, right, in pain, then you know that your body is pain. It's the body is calling. It gives you a signal that your body is in pain. So your mind must be there to know that the body is pain, right? But sometimes we forget, we live in a society that our society is constructed in a way that pulls us away in everyday life. So we forget that our mind is there for us, always there, but we forget. So that means we live in what? Forgetfulness. We forget our mind is there for us. So we have to come back to make the connections, to relate to your body and to your mind. And once you're able to do that, and slowly you make connections, relationship with other body. If your body and your mind relationship is ill, then other relationships will be ill. But we don't know, because we live in forgetfulness. We don't know that. We have, so many of us, we have a very ill relationship with our body, our mind, and then from that, it's connect to other relationships. For example, you have an ill relationship with your environment. That's why we destroy our environment. So that's why I make you at allow every body to sit in nature. So you make connections with nature, with environment. And you know that environment is healing. It's healing. If the environment is sick, then you're sick. If the trees around you are sick, then you are sick. Because the virus, those trees will spread to you, and you will not, right? But if you sick, the environment will sick, because we are related to the environment. Because everything that we take in is we take in from the environment. Do you see that? The food that we eat comes from the environment, comes from the earth. And we always have a thought that we are aware that we are all this incorrect to us, related to us. Related to us. So when we sit down in the forest, you know that you sit on the rocks above it, and you know that somehow that you connect to the rocks. And you feel energy of the rocks. Right? And you feel some kind of solidity. Did you see, you feel that? Sit on big boulder. And if you are very, if you're unstable in physically and mentally, and you sit on big boulder, and you feel the energy of the boulder is there for you, and you feel must protect. And you feel the energies of the boulder is there. When I sit on the Buddha, I don't know really Buddha is really there for me. Sit solidly and feel the energy. And the energy of rocks, you feel is very fast and very fast. When if your mind is fast, you can feel that. You can feel that. Because I live here and I'm aware that I lost. So when we do that, we're healing ourselves by the energies of the environment. If you go in the forest, you are healing by the energy of the tree, the oxygen, the freshness oxygen of the tree. It's very, if you are aware, if you have that kind of awareness, and you feel a close relate to the environment. But many of us forget that. And when I sit down and I was in my head, imagining I know, I was thinking of the native India. The native people. They are there, the ancestors of the native people in this land. In this land. And they are very weak. And the native people, they are very much related to nature. And why I know that, and I have that sea before when I was young, I live in highland, in an undiscovered land, highland. After the communist took over the country, and I've been in the highland for 6 years, and I live mostly in the mountains. And now I come back here, live in the mountain again. See, I have a real connection to that. I remember many lifetimes I live in Himalaya, very high mountain. I'm very much related to that. And I have a very strong belief and energy in me when it's on the border. And I know that that energy is in the border right away. And here in Kauru we have so many of that energy in us. We live in Kauru, we all surrounded by mountains and borders. But if we don't take that opportunity to heal ourselves, then we are become living playfulness and we don't aware of that. So take the opportunities to relay yourself, and that's how you build love with nature. You love nature, and nature loves you back, right? If you love nature, nature loves back. And that is the precious gift. We don't have to buy it. We don't. And that is the best gift that we can offer ourselves for joy. You know, when you go into the top of the mountain, you see that is the really beautiful gift that you, the nature gives to you. And you don't have to buy it. But we have to keep in mind that we have to save, we have to practice in this way that we embrace our nature. So building love. But we have, in order to that, we have to know this element in us, in our body, in our mind. Because all the things, that all the food that we are take grant from the nature. Even you buy it in the store, but you still take it from the nature. Some farmer work for it and grow it, but it still comes from the nature. But that farmer, if that farmer don't do it healthily, and we eat and we're sick because they use our pesticide, right? But that, if that farmer's aware of what they're doing and they use a healthy skill to do that, and then in return we save the nature and we save human. And that's why we build love, relationship with nature. But in order to do that, we have to have to embrace our body and our mind. Because that is the core foundation we have to work with. We have this body, we have this mind, and we work. And when we become aware of our body, then we become aware of the nature. And that nature is not somewhere far. It's in us. But we are there. So we become oneness with the nature. Oneness with the nature. Oneness. That's why in Buddhism we call oneness the body, the mind. We all, when we practice well, we go back to nature. And we connect ourselves with the cosmos. And in do we call great Atman. You know, great Atman. We have, when we realize, you can see everything is connected. In Hindu, we call great Atman. Small Atman, but small ego. And big Atman, big ego. And in Hinduism, what they practice is they connect themselves to union themselves with, we call great Atman. We call Đại Nhạc, Đại Nhạc, Tiệm Nhạc và Đại Nhạc, which is. So when we're able to do that, and we go back to the nature, and we are not very different, very much different with the Hindu practice. But this is when we have to realize it. In order to make a connection, we have to come back to our body and our mind. So in Buddhism, we call Atman. Ego or self, right? And it's another word, and we call Maha Atman. And we call great self Maha Atman. And this Atman have created, block us from nature, self become me and mine. Once you imprison yourself in this self, if we don't practice, we imprison ourselves in ego and Atman. And the more we imprison ourselves, the more our world becomes very small. And that's why we lost connections, lost the relationship to nature. And then when we lost connection from relationship to nature, then we lost connections, relationship with human. And nowadays you see in our society, we lost even among human, among family members. We lost our relationship very much. We lost the way that we relate to our ancestors, to our parents. And we connect and we relate in very superficial way and very surfacing way. Not very deep, not very deep, not very rooted. Because we don't feel oneness with everything. We don't see the interdependent natures of ourselves. Just like, for example, when we were in our mother's womb, and we feel that everything we do, we're there in the mother's womb, and everything is related to the mother. Right? But once we come out of birth canal, then slowly we move away. Right? We lost connections with our mother. And every of us, not at no acceptance, we lost the relationship. And one day we fight to move out of the net. We want to be in America, you know, independent. We want to be independent. So ours, you know, independence. We try to be independent from everything. You see, slowly we lost the relationship with nature, with ourselves, and with our mothers, and with the people. And when we lost that relationship, then we develop an isolation island for ourselves. Okay? An isolation island isolates from the people. So we develop our own island. And we call loneliness, feeling in us. And maybe one of us, once in a while, we feel very much lonely. Even we walk along the world of people, we feel so lonely. We feel so lonely. Because we lost that relation with sentiments. We walk among a forest of trees, But we feel so lonely. We don't feel any connection with the tree.
That
mental formation is in every of us. We feel so long. And the more you get mature in your age, then the more you become lonely. Loneliness. So sometimes you have to practice in such a way you are alone when you are lonely. Alone when you are lonely. Because you know that you are with the world. You are with everything. You can be alone. So you can be in a solitary retreat, but you know that you are with the world. Solitary retreat, you being alone by yourself, in a cabin or in some place. But you contemplate that I now am with the world. So you don't feel lonely and you become stronger in your way of life, because you know that you are connected. And you know your relationship to the world is there. And that is what the Buddha discovered. People are among the world. Right? He let everything be. Let everything go, but he knows that. But everything is belong to him. Not belong to him in a way, in the sense of possessions, but everything is there for him. The ground is there for him. The earth is there for him to walk. And he knows that the earth is there for him to enjoy the walk. And when the more you look deeply in the Buddha's life, you can see he lets go all the talents, beautiful wife, beautiful girls, and he knows that all the girls there, all the beautiful friends there for him. He don't have to possess anybody. Because the inner beauty is there. He tastes that, he experiences that. He don't have to possess. And the more we be with our ego, Atman, then we want to be possessed. Everything is to accumulate, to possess. You have a hand and hold this, you never let your hand go. Not an open hand, but a closed fist. We all went like this. And you know that children, when they born, they just do like this. Children already whole. Just come out of mother canal. And they already whole like this. I don't have a children, but I see my nephew and all of us. Fist like this. Here, this is what it means. Even though he or she's witness will come out of mother's womb. But they already have this, hold this. Because many lifetimes, he or she already have planted this kind of seed in him. Hold this. And we try to open, and he says, go back again. Children, hold so tight. If you pay a little attention, you can see that. And you can see, if you look deeply, you say, wow, he or she just come out of the world already, he already trying to possess. The first thing is to possess her mom or his mom. Is that it? Second character is harmony. When we have a good relationship with our body and our mind, and we generate harmony in our body and our mind. And do you know that deep down your body and your mind are always in struggle? Sometimes it's resisting. The body is resisting to accept the mind, and the mind is resisting to accept the body. And that's why the more we build resistance in our body, and then we become ill. And we don't know, because we live in a very attentive to our body and our mind, and we don't know. And we don't know that, and then we create a lot of disharmony. Once we have this harmony in our body and our mind, then when you will have family, you will have an unharmony. Even though you try very best to live harmony with your partner, but deep down, in your roots, you have the energy of unharmony. And how can you be in harmony for long time? When you are so much struggle in your own relationship, no acceptance. No acceptance. Because in relationship we have always expect condition to fulfill our conditions. Always some kind of expectation. You have to do this for me, otherwise I'm not be the lover. Deep down we have that. But we don't know that deep down we don't have, we're lacking this harmony in us. But once the foundation is lacking, is fragile, then whatever you try to build on is being eroded. Erosions will take place. And day and night, it starts to erode a little more. It's eroded, it's leaking away. And leaking away all this energy of harmony in you. So the practice when you sit down, that's why I say that to calm the body, calm your breath. You calm that breath slowly in harmony with your body and your mind. You harmonize that. And you have a harmonized breath. So now our breath is very disturbing. It's very destructive. It's very chaotic. Our breath is not very harmonic and it's very coarse. Our breath, because our breath is not in harmony with itself. So that's why I said, oh, sit down, breathing in, I calm my breath, breathing out, I calm my breath, so that you can generate the harmony. Once the breath is harmonized, then you can generate the harmony in your body and your mind. And that's one of the very essence of the practice. And if you don't have this energy, then our minds become mental chattering. And every of us, we have no acceptance, we have a lot of mental chattering when you start to sit down to meditate. And you have an internal, silently dialogue with yourself. And then, and you say, oh wow, I was very relaxed, my meditation time ran out very fast. Because you are so busy with your mental chattering. And time passed by. But sometimes you pay attention and time is so slow. You say, oh man, come on, the bell. Ring the bell. Because you pay attention and your body becomes irritated. But if you are busy with your mental conversations, then you say, oh, sometimes time runs fast. Because you are very busy with that mental challenge. So that's why when we're externally busy, then we don't pay attention to our own body and our mind. We lost attention. So we have to bring that kind of attentive to our own body and our mind. And when you become very attentive and your physical body very become irritating because it's either, itchy or pain, some neck, knee, all kind of pain in your body. But normally if you don't pay attention, it's okay. It's okay. It's like that. Because you lost the relations with your body and your mind. The connections. And normally that's how our life runs by. Include myself. Because I have paid your attention so I know. I know. And you become internally gossip. Sometimes some people that you know for a long time ago, now your meditation is come back. And now you become internally gossip in your head. So gossiping. First you do that, and then you external, and then you, if you, after you release the meditation, you go out and you contact with people, and now you become externally gossiping. And the more we conscious of others, the more we distance ourselves. And some conscious being become a habit. And you're so joyful by life, so excited, so enjoy life by conscious being. Man or woman, doesn't matter. We all enjoy some kind of gossip. You know, whenever we sit down, we gossip with other people, and everybody join. See, like that, the conversation starts automatically, and it's everybody gets interested in that. And because what? Because we lost to the relationship. And we enjoy our dreams. Especially when you're young, girls or boys, you really like this friend and got it together and like to gossip. And then you gossip and you lost friends. When you gossip about someone, you lost that person. If that person fell behind, you lost. And slowly you distant and you lost the lost the relationship. And we don't know. And that's how in our vernacular life we have lost that. So we have in really good relationship we have to avoid gossiping. Is that gossiping, right? Gossiping.
No H type.
No H? Right?
Two S's.
Gossiping, yeah. And sometimes we gossip about ourselves too. We don't know. Have you ever been gossiping yourself? About yourself? I do. And we really enjoy that, enjoy that a lot. You know, if we don't know why. Especially when we gather as a big group and we have a momentum, you know, to move in other directions. So we have to be aware. Here is the internal gossip, the external gossip. And when we do that, we move ourselves away from reality. We distance ourselves from reality. Because when you are gossip, that means you are busy. You're very busy with the mental activities. And you lost the stillness in yourself. You lose the capability of stillness in yourself. And the stillness is the pollutions of life. But we are so much afraid of stillness. If you sit alone by yourself, you either pray of God's ghost or pray of some other thing else. We are afraid to be in stillness. But when you are deep in meditation, you have to drown in that stillness. And that's what become, you make a lot of fearful for many people. But for us, we are very surface on the land, our meditation. We have to go very deep in that stillness. And in the life of Buddha, Buddha had tell, he had meditated and he go very high mountain and he meditate. And at night, and many things move. And he afraid that, you know, either big cobra or big snakes or lion come to take his life. Because he's so much in stillness, and especially when you're in forest by yourself. If you travel the Buddha, travel in that deep stillness, and you can be able to hear everything. So when we are busy gossiping, then we cannot hear to react in life. Some young loved one come to talk to you, and you're so busy, you're not able to listen deeply in that stillness, in the suffering, in the painful. Right? And that has happened to everyone of us. We love that capability of stillness in us. Because we are busy, so busy in this. Either God is mentally or either externally. We're so busy. Sometimes we're busy with that. That's when we'll be busy in our head. Very much. So the more you practice, drown and practice, the more you're able to retain your capability of stillness. And once you have that stillness, you can go anywhere in this life. still have internal joy. Internal joy, internal happiness, that's everlasting happiness, everlasting joy. That's why in Buddhism we don't go any things outside to explore the world, but we go back and explore the world. We have scientists go to Venus, to other planets to explore. But the Buddha said you have to go back and explore. And that's where you find yourself. You don't go out there. It's very deep, deep practice. Unless you have to practice moment by moment. In our daily life, we are very lost in every moment. We are very rarely able to really draw ourselves in that moment. Even we try, sometimes we are lost by our thinking, by other thoughts, carry us away. So we are lost. And that's happened in our society. Now it's a lot. The adult, the young, the professional, we all. Because we all do things is just to find that kind of joy and happiness. Doesn't matter what profession you are. You can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be an engineer, you can be a janitor. You still have to. That's what you work for. What you work for. And when you have this sense of happiness and you become a humorous, life become a humorous for you. Everything is become joy, humor. Humor here doesn't mean we don't try to put anyone down, but we look at ourselves, we have some, whatever you say, you become some kind of humor, and you laugh at life. Sometimes we laugh the capability of laughing. We are so serious. Am I so serious? You are serious. You're so serious about life. And you lost the sense of humor, right? Sense of humor. Humor here that we can see is the nature of impermanent life, but we still able to enjoy. We can see the change, the flow of change. Change makes things beautiful. If the flower is not changed, the flower just never blossom, never blossom, right? So in that change, we can see love in life. In the process of change, you can get lost, but nothing is lost. Change makes it beautiful. Without change, we cannot be a Buddha. Right? Without change, we cannot transform our karma. And then we say that if I commit to that karma, that's the sin, and then I'll be forever. Right? You cannot become something beautiful. Right? And you cannot laugh at change. So yesterday I went to a funeral. And I conducted a funeral yesterday, last Easter, on 72 years old. And I tried to give her some, even though she passed away, but I tried to give some words to her, invitation words so that she can carry with her. And her Dharma name is the Wonderful Flower. Wonderful Flower. And she's a teacher in Vietnam. And when the new her passing away, many students of her from Australia, Vietnam, many people come. And they express beautifully about her. How, you know, be a teacher. And I say that that is your name as a wonderful flower. You have planted many beautiful flowers to this earth, to all her students. They all express leave her something beautiful, plant some seeds, beautiful seeds. Her student is about 60 or 70 years old, you know, 60 years old. And they come and they, this is like dear to her as her children. She didn't marry, she didn't have husband, have family. She's most of her life as a teacher. And we can plant so many seeds for life. We can do many things good for life. If we able to make a connection, because she knows that even though she don't have a family, she don't have children, but her student is the children. Right? Even though they are 60 years old, they still have children. because she knows that she is very much related to her student. Very, very much related. What she planned will be blossomed. And they all spread out in Australia, in America, in Vietnam. 4 years ago, but now they still remember her and come back the day of passing away. And wrote beautiful poems about her, saying, it's just many beautiful things about her. And her name is Wonderful Flower. And I said that you have been planting the seed. Now this seed will carry you to the future. You don't have. So all students will, her students will carry her to the future. And now, laugh at life and go, fine. Now you don't have to attach to anything. You can laugh and go to wherever you want to go. Because you know, as you are going back to the earth and still have a connection to the earth. And you're able to laugh with whatever happened. That's a human part. Humor. So now, in our life, you don't have humor, you're lacking something. Have some friend to have some humor. Humorous. And when you you're able to have a connection and you're able to listen to the world and the people around. And yeah, when you are in a conversation with friend, you don't have to dominate the conversation. Right? And this is one of the great philosophers of Greek philosopher, he said, his name is Epictetus, and he said, nature give us one tongue and 2 ears. One tongue and 2 ears. So we could hear twice as much as we speak. It's a Greek philosophy. One ear, no, one tongue, 2 ears. Imagine if we had 2 tongues. See, it's nature give us something. That it meant something for us. One ear, one tongue, 2 tongues, this world is so difficult to be. So in relationship, we have to listen more. People, 2 ears to listen and speak less. Speak whatever you need to speak. It doesn't mean that you don't have to speak. But they say that this man is able to listen to the sound of the natures. But when I go to have that kind of stillness, then come back to stillness. When you have the spirit, then you have to listen. Then you listen more. You don't have to say much. When you come to a Zen master, he will speak to you a lot. He just says, click on the right key so that you can enter the reality, the world reality. He don't speak a lot like me. He don't talk a lot like me. So he speaks very to us, very to the point. You know where you need to open. You can kind of open. Open so that you can enter that gate of reality. You can enter, you can dwell in the space of stillness. It's very important. So in relationship, normally in a partner relationship, you have to listen more and speak. Don't dominate the conversations. Right? Yeah, but normally in relationship, even friends or partner, if you try to dominate relationship, and that person will feel like, oh, you are everything you dominate, right? You dominate. So you have here, you have to be balanced in your I call world relationship, upper neck relationship in every life. So you have to, you know, give the feeling of that person who keep the consciousness, or that person always dominate me. And if that person feels that, and slowly he or she lost one, the connection silently withdraw. Silently withdraw. And that happened to many families. Either the husband or the wife silently withdraw. You feel that you don't belong there. You feel you've been hurt, been wounded. Right? And when you do that, then this is what it is. The self trying to occupy his or her own space. And that's why in our society we have a lot of divorce. The husband or either partner struggling, trying to withdraw, right? Withdraw. Because they don't feel much. At first you think that you feel to relate to him or her at the beginning. But day by day you discover that somehow that maybe physically you connect, but mentally you not. But only you satisfy physical, not enough. You have to mentally connect. And come back to two person but one heart. Can you do that? Two person but one heart. That's the best. Two person but one heart. Okay, we can do that. If we have a good communications, then two person can be one heart. And the next quality is detachment. In relationship, detachment here you have doesn't mean that you don't have anything related to him or her. Detachment here you have to develop each your space, but somehow you connect. You allow the free space for that person. You don't make that person suffocate. We don't make that person suffocate. So detached, you allow that space for that person can have a friend. But in that you have to trust that person, and that person has to trust you in order to have detachment. So normally it's conditional attachment. Conditional, you have some condition attached to that. That's all I say, conditional attachment. And slowly that person, day by day, he feels or she feels suffocate when you arrive. Did you ever feel that? You may have some friends like that too. You feel so much suffocated, you don't feel comfortable in his or her presence. You better go away. And that person say, or if your husband says, oh, I have a vacation, I have some work, and I'm going to stay a few more days. Oh, yeah, go. Because you don't feel joy in the presence of him or her. You say that you go. You let him go. But you still feel some kind of worry. You have lost in him somehow. But inside, you feel a lost connection. But you still attach to that person. Because when you feel that without that person, you might not be insecure. But deep down, you're already insecure. Insecure. So, detachment here is to let go of the conditions that you expect him or her. If we don't fulfill ourselves, how can you expect that person to be fulfilled? What would it mean? So it's so conflict. You see, deep down is conflict already. So we expect him or her to fulfill your expectation, but deep down you haven't fulfilled yourself. So you expect him or her, if him or her don't fulfill that, then what? Irritation, upset, anger, maybe fear, maybe feel insecure. You don't truly connect. Just like a child, you know, he or she so attached from the moment he or she come out of the birth canal. Not able to let go of his face open and see the world. When we open up, we see the world. If we close that, our world becomes very small. And our path of life becomes very narrow. Even though he's trying to make a step, he could make, you know, raise his head up too. These are importance. So as the practice descends on the energies of detachment, you're able to let go of some of the things. And the more you let go, the more that person feels the space. Feel the space. And when he or she has the space to move from, the more he will see or become close to you. They feel the connection. Establish the connection again. Trust slowly to sprout. Sprouting. Being a good listener, you have to have a mutual way, you know, a mutual way of communications in your building relationship with yourself, with the environment, and with people around you. So once you're able to have the oneness energies, the harmony energy, then you rejuvenate your own healing energy. Make that rejuvenate the healing energy, and that slowly heal the gaps. In our life, we have a lot of gaps between human relations. Human relations here, I mean your loved one, your children, your relatives, and further out is your communities, and further out to the nations, and further out to other nations. Beautiful humanism, you don't take offense of the people that you have been associated with. If we take an advantage of that person, sooner or later you develop a big gap of the relationship, become distant. So the practice is to always return. It needs you to return yourself. The practice. And the practice is you use meditations to come back and pay more attentive to your body and mind. And when you develop that position, then you become slowly. You can become stronger in your body and your mind. And your relationship become again established. Healing again. And we all can do that. We want ourselves somehow in many lifetimes. And maybe this lifetime, if we don't know, we will continue that process. But we can, but if we know the way, you know the practice, you can establish yourself. And you can reach into that practice, and you can get healing begin. And relationship also begin. So you don't have to disappoint that, oh, you know, I already lost that capability. Once you return, that means you're able to start to rejuvenate again. It often is lost, but not, but it's there for us, whether we are able to aware of that or not. Some reason nothing is lost, whether we know how to use it, how to practice this. Buddha said the Buddha nature is there, because many layers are mud. So if we just continue to cover our Buddha nature with mud, then we cannot enlighten. But once we start, we realize we remove the mud leg by leg, and one day the Buddha will sign, the energy of the Buddha will shine, and that's how we become a Buddha. Buddha is something that some people are aware and awake perfectly, completely. That's all. That's what it means. Not to be a god or not to be someone of the world of nature. No, that's someone that lives fully in awareness. That's what I meant. And we all have that capability, regardless of religions, regardless of race. So Buddhism, we don't exclude anybody. Everybody is embraced in that space. So today I just would like to share you with that how to be a lovely relationship with your body, your mind, with the natures and with the people around. And so when we have that relationship, we become solid, stable, and we become rooted. And every one of us here want to be rooted and want to be not be shaky, but be rooted in our life, right? And so if we have a healthy relationship, we have a love relationship with ourselves, that's where we start. So hopefully we can cultivate that energy together in our practice, so that we become some very lovely person for ourselves and for everyone. So once again, I would like to conclude my share here. We'll have our meal together outside. So now I would like to invite two other guests, and you go back to yourself and relax. Moment. You can unfold your legs and stand up.